This morning I'm talking about the writer John O'Donoghue. John O'Donoghue was born in County Clare in 1956 and he died in 2008. He's one of the most successful spiritual writers of recent times. His best known works are Anamkara, Benedictus, Divine Beauty, Walking in Wonder. And the books have achieved international acclaim. O'Donoghue spent 19 years working as a Catholic priest. He was a philosopher, a writer, a speaker, and activist. And he did come to this church to speak some years ago. He was an engaging speaker, and he is an engaging writer. And his spirituality is influenced by his theology, philosophy, but most importantly, by his experience of living in the wide, wild landscapes of Connemara and the Burren. Reading a John O'Donoghue book is very, very easy. In contrast with most modern self-help spiritual guidebooks, O'Donoghue doesn't subscribe to any particular course of action. There's no 10-step plan to improve your life. The style reminds me of the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu, who wrote 2,500 years ago, and also Ralph Waldo Emerson, who wrote in the 19th century. According to these spiritual guides, a large part of what it means to be spiritual is to do nothing. That doesn't mean we loll on the couch. Doing nothing, simply be totally present, actively listening for the teaching of your soul. Doing nothing takes a lot of work, not with the body, but with the head. O'Donoghue doesn't advocate any particular religious authority. Instead, he says that every person is the physician to their individual soul. He said that inside each one of us is the knowledge that allows us to live deeply and a fulfilling spiritual life. The knowledge is within us. According to O'Donoghue, we are the creators of our inner lives. We are the artist of our lives. We create our inner world. And when we create attentively, as opposed to carelessly or thoughtlessly, we're more likely to create something that is beautiful. O'Donoghue's books read like poetry. His writing is so poetic that after his death, his will was contested in the courts, and the judge dismissed it as being a piece of English that is unclear. Themes weave their way through the pages, and the themes resonate with that spiritual hunger that is particularly prevalent in the developed world. Those themes are isolation, the longing for connection, the search for meaning, the tyranny that time holds over us now. He doesn't take those themes individually and discuss them. They're woven through the stories. We in the developed world apply logic and reasoning to problems. But some problems defy logic. When you think about it, we here in the Western developed world, we have food, security, good social service. Logic says we should be the happiest people in the world. We also live in a society where there is alcohol abuse, addiction to drugs, and a new one, gambling. And we have enormous problems with mental health. 1 in 5 of our students say that they feel bullied at school. This is in a society where we have everything we need. It would seem something is missing. There is unease in the developed world. Some people blame this unease in the fall off in church attendance. If a lack of spirituality is the cause of our mental unease, I don't think returning to authoritarian types of church will be the solution. O'Donoghue's books present us with an alternative dialogue than going to church. As the courts point out, the looseness in his words allows everyone to find their own meaning in the writings. We love a logical discussion. We discuss whether human beings are created by a loving God, that we're here for a purpose or whatever. And we reckon that we can, with enough discussion, come to the real logical solution, to the correct answer. John O'Donoghue begins his book, Annam Cara, by naming and accepting mystery. He wrote, "It's strange to be here. The mystery never leaves you alone." And it is indeed strange to be here. And the mystery always niggles at us. And those sentences are a challenge to us children of the Enlightenment. How can we learn to sit comfortably with mystery? As I said, he was really influenced by the landscape of Connemara and the Burren. And when you think of that landscape, it was there he learned his patient spirituality. If you drive through it, it seems bare and barren. Usually it's raining, and usually the clouds will be down low over the hills. But if you go close up, when you are quiet and pay attention, when you have the patience to sit, the landscape gradually reveals the fact that it is teeming with life. Watch closely and you will see the land come alive and reveal its hidden stories. Wait long enough and the sun will come out and paint the landscape in glorious colors. Be there, wait, watch. Pay attention. When we can live with mystery, we soon discover wonder. And the greatest wonder all is humanity. In just 9 short months, a fertilized egg develops into a human being consisting of millions of cells. And each child born is utterly unique. And each of us would be different if we were born into a different family. We're this mixture of genetics and family influences. And we are all separate from one another. We're not born into sin or with sin. We are born with potential. We live within the limits of our being, but we are born with the freedom of choice in how we respond to every experience that comes our way. This feeling of separation from others is a human experience. There's a longing for connection in us. John O'Donohue writes of our longing for connection. He says that we all need an anam cara, a soul friend. He wrote, in everyone's life, there's a great need for an anam cara, a soul friend. In the love of an anam cara, you are understood as you are, without mask or pretension. You can be as you really are. An anam cara is God's gift. Friendship is the very nature of God. And it is so true that we do need someone who accepts us as we are, where we have the freedom to be ourselves. The great lesson from the book Anam Cara is that we need to live with and in mystery. We can embrace that mystery. Wait to be surprised by new wonders. Or we can embrace apparent facts about life. We can see only the facts of birth and death, and so spend our time in between these events, distracting ourselves with trifles. Or we can embrace the mystery. We can live with joy, gratitude, and wonder for life, simply because we are alive and we can allow the wonder and mystery of life to give us joy, simply because it is finite. You know, at the end, no matter what happens in our life, whether we become rich, whether we lose every penny, the only certainty is death. His book Benedictus is another favourite of mine, and it talks about the art, the lost art of blessing. Reformed churches are a bit uncomfortable with the idea of blessing. I think they think people regard them as a spell or something like that. But a blessing is not a spell, it's not magic. And blessing is older than time. It's not the preserve of individuals appointed to positions of power to bless. Everyone can bless. And blessingness brings a sacredness to what is ordinary, as well as to what is extraordinary in our lives. My father was of the generation where blessing was a part of everyday life. When my father went into a house, he always began with, God bless all here. If he met a worker, it was, God bless the work. And these greetings were in the fabric of the Irish language. The greetings brought the sacred to the mundane. And there is a beauty in that. And there's an acknowledgement of mutuality there. By this I mean that if I'm working, it means I am healthy, able, and I have some ability, and that I am using those gifts. And it's lovely if someone blesses that. In the Jewish tradition, the Sabbath day begins with a blessing of bread and wine. And these represent the work of human hands and the gift of the earth. When we bless the ordinary, it is a form of mindfulness. We focus the mind on what is at hand and bring our best self to the task. If somebody were to bless your work, you're more inclined to do it a bit more carefully than anything will do. John O'Donohue pays particular attention to blessings for what he calls times of thresholds, times of change in our life, Life's two most important thresholds are birth and death. And we do pay particular attention to bless births and death particularly. But why restrict our blessings to just twice in a lifetime? Donoghue's book has all kinds of blessing for the times of day, the season, the years, life events, homecomings, all sorts of states of mind. And all of them are designed to enrich the moment. O'Donoghue's spirituality is based in simplicity. It's not a quick fix for anyone's life. It's based on time, quiet time, and reflection. As he rightly points out, every one of us has the power to care for our soul. We can access that power. But accessing that power is not a matter of turning it on and off like a light switch. It takes time, patience, persistence. And a lot of the time, it's a matter of waiting. Waiting for it to happen, for something to happen, for a blessing. And that's a big challenge for us in Western culture. Amen.